This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables Radio Hour. With round, soft, pillowy bread filled with delicious PB&J, here's your host, Uncrustables.
Caller on line 3. What's eating you?
No one.
Crust, is that you?
Ugh.
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, crust.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
Hi, guys.
This might be a low-energy pod because everybody's feeling very tired. We've all given our stories of why we're tired.
Yeah, but yours too, your two stories were better than mine because you went out for a curry after a rock and roll book launch or whatever. Mine's just because I have a child. That's not really same ballpark, is it?
Hey. It was a children's book launch. It wasn't particularly.
I'm guessing the children weren't there.
It wasn't very rock and roll. And as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing cooler than being a dad. There is nothing cooler than procreation.
I agree.
Bringing up the next generation, Dave. We need it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for getting up early for us.
I don't look. If you could just put the statue on Barrack Road, I'll be happy.
Okay. So this is our last. We haven't had a podcast in a while, as is typical with us being the most amateurish podcast in the Newcastle United sphere, the most amateurish, but also the most lovable. It's been a while since we've done a pod. But this is our first podcast since the season ended. So it's going to be a season review. We're going to talk about, we're going to give out some awards to for best player and so forth. We're going to talk about how we thought the season would go, how we think it's gone. And we'll also talk about our hopes and dreams for the transfer window. Paul, we finished fourth. Happy with that? Or did you want a bit more?
Have a guess. How could you not be happy with that? Like I remember the pre-season pod feeling wildly optimistic, saying, I think we're going to get seventh. And I think that was the most optimistic prediction out of the three of us. So, yeah, quite. I don't mind fourth. Obviously, I'm really disappointed with the drop-off in form at the end of the season. I think Howe's position has to be under threat because of it. We finished fourth and we got to a cup final. It's far, far beyond anything we thought we'd get.
Yeah.
Dave, for some balance?
It's shit. I mean, we were in third position. It was ours. And throwing games away against, like, Leeds and who else did we draw with around about that time?
Leicester,
for fuck's sake. I mean, Jesus Christ. He's got to go. He's got to go. Get Steve Bruce back. No, of course it's a fucking brilliant end of the season. We're fourth. We're in the Champions League, for fuck's sake.
That still keeps hitting me, the Champions League thing.
It's been hitting me as well. What's weird is I think I'm right in thinking that we've only played three seasons in the Champions League. Is that right? I think that's what we've done. And the last of which was 20 years ago. But in my head, I've always seen us as a Champions League team who's just dipped out for a bit, even though it was only seasons. And I look back and say, oh, it's been 20 years.
Yeah. I think a lot of your view on teams, I think it's just formed on who was where when you were like between the ages of 15 and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Coventry City feel like a Premier League team to me because they were in the Premier League when I was that age.
And Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Just shit like that. I tell you what it is. For the 14 years before Mike Ashley, I don't know the exact figures off the top of my head, but we were in Europe most of them. Like there was a period where, yes, we were in like the Intertoto or the what was then the UEFA Cup or the Champions League, and we were in these competitions like pretty fucking consistently. So in my head, we're a European chasing side.
And there were also less places for British teams, for English teams in Europe. So we were finishing like second or third or whatever and being in the UEFA Cup sometimes.
Yeah.
I always saw us as a European club. But obviously, for a lot of listeners won't remember us being in Europe.
I mean, they're missing out because I remember we went to, I think it was Bayer Leverkusen. And through injuries and suspensions, we had to start, instead of Shearer and Bellamy, we had to start Shola Amiobi and Lamano Lualawa in the Champions League. And we fucking won. It's just...
Next season, I really hope we get to see Jacob Murphy in the Champions League.
Oh,
just for the turnaround there from a disappointing loan spell at Sheffield Wednesday to that.
Amiobi scored quite a lot of goals in Europe. Seeing as he's been mentioned, Shola Amiobi, did you see the promotional video that he presented this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's on the club's, all their social media. Some came out some point in the past week. Shola hosted, presented a little video about the new training ground and complex and everything. And there were a lot of sort of references to his infamous MTV Cribs performance, which is also worth seeking out on YouTube. He's not a natural presenter. I don't think we have one former player who presents the one show. I don't think I can see Shola being the next one.
No, I think JJ's jobs is safe.
Yeah, but that's worth seeking out.
Yeah.
So
he's a very. I've heard from like other people at the club that he's a really good lad. He's really like when you're speaking to him one to one or in a group, he's funny, he's engaging, and all the rest of it. But stick a camera in front of him and no, it's not where his talents lie.
It doesn't feel right to find something negative to talk about, but do his talents lie in being a loan manager? Because since he's done it, have we had a single successful loan?
Gary Kuhl scored the other day, but it's not been a good loan for him.
No, he hasn't been scoring a lot, has he?
No, but then there's broader context in the Hearts camp because they had a change of manager and they weren't in great form, and then he couldn't really give time to Kuhl because, you know, other strikers needed the time or whatever. But no, like I don't really see the value in sending a striker to the Scottish leagues unless you're sending it to Celtic or Rangers because they're not going to get as much time. So no, I mean Elliot Anderson did okay at Bristol.
I knew we'd get onto this. I knew we'd get onto loans.
Yet again, we've managed to take a week where there's so many compelling, interesting things we could talk about and deep dive into the most boring bit possible. The effectiveness of our loan management. Jesus wept.
One more quick thing on Europe. I'm very excited about it. I think I'm gonna. It's good news for BT Sport because they're gonna get a new subscriber. Because I do not want to piss around looking for streams and stuff. I'm going to subscribe to BT Sport. I've been fantasizing about, as I often do, about winning the Euro Millions.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if I won, I would pump. This is like tomorrow night is like over 100 million. As far as I'm concerned, that's do what you like. Would I use that money to buy a box at the ground? Or would I use it to buy my way into just a batch of season tickets? Because I'd like to be at those European nights. What would you do? Would you get a box? Or would you get season tickets?
I think I would get a box, but I would also try and go to more away games. So I'd have the box for St James's Park and enjoy that. But I think I'd use the fact that I've got a box to make it more likely that I get an away game. Because it's easier to just farm out the box to like a group of people if you can't attend. But like giving up your season ticket seat, I just...
All right, there we go. Me getting onto another complete
fucking boring thing.
You're listening to the season review.
Can I? So I've got something I wanted to talk about before we
it's
get
not
on.
Not relevant, is it? That would be a shame.
No. So I've been looking at our performance this season, and it was kind of off the back of Pep Guardiola winning like Premier League Manager of the Season. And that kind of rankled with me because I think what he's achieved isn't that impressive given everything that he's got, like all the tools that he's got to achieve it. And I've found out just by doing a deep dive, 19 wins in the league. That's the most in the top flight since 2011, 2012. 14 draws is the most in the top flight since 2004, 2005. 5 losses is the fewest in the top flight ever. It's only been beaten by our season in the Championship under Houghton, where we only lost 4 times. 68 goals is the most we've scored in the Premier League season since 2001-2002. 33 goals is the lowest, is the fewest goals we've conceded since 1904-05, which is when we won the league. Plus 35 is the best goal difference in the top flight since 1926-27. When we won the league, and 71 points is our biggest points return in the top flight since 2001-2002. I mean, this is an incredible season, and I don't think it's getting the credit it deserves. I don't know why.
All football fans do this though and get too worked up about awards, and it's just because everything we read is about how brilliant Newcastle are, and we feel affronted that that's not everywhere. But then
no.
Arsenal fans will be the same about Arteta as well.
Exactly. So my point wasn't that. So that's why Eddie Howe should win Premier League Manager of the Year. It was more that like I was having a look at, well, how good is this season? And then I just came to realise it's unbelievably good. Like, forget about the Premier League Manager of the Season, because you know, De Zerbi, Emery, O'Neill, Arteta, all of them have got good shouts. I'm just saying, purely on a Newcastle fan like position, we've really got to enjoy this season that's just gone, because it was, like I say, like fucking fewest goals we've ever conceded in the top flight. Oh, no, sorry.
Some of our loans haven't gone well. So
that's what this season will be remembered for. Garon Kuehl's loan spell. And it'll always be the season where people will say, should Elliot Anderson have gone out on loan?
Yeah, those are the asterisks. Yeah. No, I wanted to bring that up. Like we jumped 22 points from last season to where we are now. 22 points. That's nearly as many as Southampton achieved in the entire season.
If we do that every year, within 2 years, we're going to be getting 250 points at least.
I'll tell you what we'll do, because we have and I take full responsibility for this. Rambled on quite a bit, so I want us to have a quick break before we take a deep dive into our awards for the season, and I'll see what you've been saying on Twitter as well, and yeah, we'll do that. All right, break. Bye.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. Good break.
Lovely.
Okay. Yeah, delicious.
I'm going to go straight in with the award ceremony. All the stars are out tonight. The red carpet is down. Let the award ceremony commence. I'm going to start, to hold people's interest, I'm going to start with the big one, with one of the big ones. Let's go start with player of the season. Let's go in big. Who, Dave, is your player of the season for Newcastle United? This is, by the way.
It's got to be Trippier.
Okay.
No player in Europe put more balls into the box, created more chances. Well, sorry, he created loads of chances. He's a leader. He's like, I just love him. I think part of it is keeping in mind that when he joined, we were a relegation side. When he joined, we didn't have Botman and all these other like big stars or Isak. He has taken this club to his heart and carried us through games by himself. I fucking love him. I will say that a couple of times during the season, I questioned his performances, but overall, fucking hell, what a player. What a player.
I feel like a lot of the stats back up your argument. It's obvious that he's had a really, really good season. But I still, in my like very unscientific memory, I feel like there's been like quite a few chunks of the season where I felt like his form hasn't been that good. Maybe because I just expect high standards, but me and Paul have been moaning about set piece delivery quite a lot. And
he's still had quite a few. I think he's had quite a few assists from set pieces, and his expected assists, I think, have been. I mean, statistically, he has been our best player. And I think as well, just the tone he sets as well, it's not just about him on the pitch, but him as a leader. There's so many honourable mentions, but I think I have to agree with Dave that
you're going for Trippier for
season.
Fair enough. On fantasy football, he was by some distance the best defender in the Premier League, which again is not doesn't tell the whole story, but it does say something. My player of the season was going to be Joe Linton because. Yeah. Although I think you could make a very good argument for Bruno, who's also had some dips in form, but when Bruno doesn't play for us, there's marked difference in the amount of points that we get.
We've not won without him this season, so it tells you how important he is.
Which tells a huge story. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Trippier has been ever present, so that hasn't been tested. But yeah, I think you can make a good argument for Bruno. I'm just going with Joe Linton because I went to see us twice this season, which is not a spectacular amount of times, but both times I just couldn't get over how good Joe Linton was. You know, just so strong. So it just felt like such a presence on the pitch.
Definitely.
For me, yes, I think you could make a good case for any number of players.
I think as well on Joe Linton, him getting a Brazil call up.
Yeah.
If you told me that 2 years ago, I would have killed you.
I would have worried for the health of the Brazilian football players.
Yeah.
Like they must have done like an non-Uncle Buck, was it King Ralph style? Yeah. Just like
well, as
nine planes went down carrying Brazilian footballers.
As Stephen Fleck pointed out, it wasn't even perhaps our, if you include ex-players, wasn't even perhaps our most surprising international call-up of the season, considering Hossolu has been playing for Spain and scored a goal.
And Hossolu has
might
been
be
linked
to Real Madrid.
Yeah. All these strikers Rafa had at his disposal, Hossolu, Tony, Mitrovic. He couldn't get a tune out of any of them.
One thing to, you know, just to add to Joe Linton is that not only has he added like a goal tally to his season, but some of the goals he's scored have been really fucking good this season. Like, you know, well taken, especially ones where the pressure's on, like when he's like one-on-one with the keeper, you know, where he's got time to think. Because I think we said that maybe he's one of those players that he needs to hit it first time, you know, just hit it instinctively. But he's now no longer kicking the football off his face, which I think is an improvement.
I think the other one to mention as well, just to have three different ones from three people, I would say, well, you don't really see the difference he makes. Nick Pope is the reason we've been able to play our high press. We were able to have such a high defensive line. You see, saw at the weekend against Chelsea when we have Dubravka and he's not capable of coming out in the same way. And we just look so much more open and easy to play through.
Yeah. And of course, he's got the shot-stopping ability as well.
Yeah. Apart from when his brain vanished against Liverpool, which still baffles me.
I love it when people, I understand why they do, but I love it when people talk about goalkeepers having a shot-stopping ability. Like, what would that be, like, their job? Just shots.
Well, I think it sounds so basic. It's like talking about a footballer having a ball-kicking ability.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
So let's go in with another award. It's going to be a long ceremony, so let's get through them. Most improved player. This is an obvious one, isn't it? I think we're all agreed. Do I even need to say it?
I think I've got a few in mind that have improved dramatically.
I think there's a clear one for me. That has to be Jacob Murphy.
Yes, that's the same for me, Jacob Murphy.
I could have made an argument for Miguel Almirón and for Sean Longstaff, because like Almirón had that unbelievable spell where he scored, you know, 8 goals in however many games, I can't remember. But the point is, he just went on that unbelievable run, and even after that, he still looks a goal threat, even though he fluffed loads of chances against Chelsea. But
yeah, he didn't look a goal threat on Saturday, Sunday.
No, but he is like a huge improvement. And Sean Longstaff, they were talking about him moving on to Everton, and and all the rest of it. And we were like, he'll be first out the door kind of thing when the regime comes in. But now we're not the same inside without him. So I would say that
you make a good case for both. I feel like Sean Longstaff's improvement came before this season.
I think as well, Longstaff was very highly rated before Almiron as well, even though it was in MLS. They've sort of both had highs that they dipped to new lows under Steve Bruce. Whereas Murphy always seemed like we bought a youngster who was never really going to make it. And as we've learned, we're all baffled by his age still.
Yeah.
28. 5 years older than Joe Willock. Imagine that.
But yeah, I don't think any of us expected him to play anywhere near as many minutes as he has done this season and has made a pretty significant contribution. Mm. Almiron, I feel like, I hope I'm not right, but I wonder whether like that period of goal-scoring form might just be a sort of moment in time, a bit like, showing my age here, a bit like Julian Joachim. Like when Julian Joachim for like 2 months was like the best striker in Europe or something.
Yeah. Or a bit like Joe Willock in his loan spell. Yes. Seven in a row.
But I think the overall game of Almiron has kicked on, hugely benefiting from Bruno and Trippier down that right hand side. Though that link up between those three players is fantastic.
Yeah, I think another honourable mention for Fabian Scher, because the number. Did you see the club account posted a video this week of him just spraying balls to the left wing? So many of our moves have started from him.
And he's such a handsome fella.
He is.
All right.
And have you seen what he's wearing to the awards tonight? He should be the next Bond. But he won't be.
Thanks to the
Wokerati. They refuse to have a Swiss Bond.
Will there be a Swiss Bond? Okay, so let's go in for another award. Let's go in for goal of the season.
Sure. Does anybody want to go? I'll go. I've got four.
And right. I really remember.
Can I have one of yours? Because I've done no preparation.
So, St Maximum's against Wolves. Volley from about 20 yards.
Was it a really low volley?
It was. It was very good.
Almiron's against Fulham, where it came over his shoulder and he... Murphy against Spurs, about 30 yards out to take us to 3-0. Wilson's against West Ham when he was about 20, 25 yards out. Lovely curling effort into the top bins. And obviously Murphy's against Everton.
Wilson also scored a really good goal in that Everton game that was completely overlooked because of Isaac's incredible assist for Murphy's goal against Everton. So you've given us the short list there.
Can I add one to the list as well?
Go on.
The Isaac one where the keeper came out really far and he just stood there with
against Spurs.
With his hands on his hips watching it.
No, it was West Ham.
No, Wilson had one against Spurs away that was similar. Yeah. But yeah.
And of course,
did you give that Isaac one celebration of the season?
Well, I don't know, because then you got Jacob Murphy against Spurs just looking really baffled.
Yeah.
Spurs celebrations, because it felt like everyone was just finding it funny.
One other shout for a goal of the season on the first game of the season, Fabian Schär there have been some really good fucking goals. But my personal pick is Alan St. Maximum's against Wolves. I think the technique to keep it low on the volley, and it owed less to the assist than Murphy's tapping.
I think for me, I'm going to go with Miggy just because of his face.
Yeah, good shout.
I'm going to agree with Dave and go for St. Maximin's. I'd completely forgotten about that goal, but it was a goal of the season contender on Match of the Day the other night.
Mm.
It was.
So was Murphy's, which is a bit of a piss take.
Well, it's why? Because.
Because it was a fucking tap in. Like,
yeah, but that's. Yeah. You can have some of the best goals of all time have been tap ins because they've been team goals.
So. But it was a tap in off a deflected cross.
It is the deflection that takes slightly away from the beauty of that goal.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I agree. So, Maximin. So, congratulations to Anas and Maximin, who. As it will surprise none, is perhaps the most outlandishly dressed squad member this evening. okay. Any other suggestions for awards? Oh, how about performance of the season? Please? Performance of the season. Just throwing these at you.
I would... Again, a couple come to mind. The win against Man U, the 2-0, because I think it was a complete performance, and I think we that was when I really started to believe we were going to do something special, because we just looked so much better than them, and we looked like up for it. We were clinical, and you know, scored two good goals.
It was a few weeks after the cup final, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, I really enjoyed that one. Obviously, the 6-1 against Spurs. But you've also got like Brentford, Fulham, West Ham. You know, we've put a few past them. But in terms of performance, I would say it's got to be the 6-1 Spurs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think there's a very good chance whoever lived longest out of the three of us, and hopefully it's a good age, we'll never see a 45 minutes from Newcastle as good as that first. Well, you two did see that 45 minutes. I only saw the second half of that game.
You can watch the first 21 minutes on YouTube in its entirety. The Newcastle put it out.
I'll get the tissues ready.
I'll tell you what was a long time ago.
Was it the war?
Yes. No, I was actually going to go for the French Revolution, Paul. It's a performance, I think, worth mentioning, and it wasn't even a victory, but it was when I remember thinking, oh, I think we might be really good this season. And that was the 3-3 against Man City.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It was a really good game from what I remember. We were 3-1 up at one stage.
Yeah.
We looked competitive. Do you know what I mean? It didn't look like we were... Man City improved a lot as the season went on, so we weren't playing Man City at their best. But it sort of said, oh, we are playing in a different league now. We're not just having a good... game. Things aren't just going for us today.
I think what was best about that game for me as well is it sort of said, we're not going to change the way we play at home for anyone.
Yeah.
There were games like Arsenal away, we sort of shut up shop and just tried to nullify it. But I don't think we've done that at home against anyone.
No. I also think like for that game, it didn't look like we were, I don't know, like playing above ourselves. Like in hindsight, it's very much we can be that good going forward. We can be that impressive, rather than it being like if St. Maximin had scored all three goals by just having one of his games where he just can do anything. It wasn't that. It was a team performance where we deserved to go 3-1 up. And yeah, they clawed us back, but yeah, it was a fucking great performance. Good shout.
But I'm agreed, even though it was only really one half, I think the game of the season, the award has to go to the Spurs performance. Mm-hmm. For it will live long in the memory. Signing of the season. Pretty.
Again, I've got a few.
Okay.
A short list.
Shall I put one out there? Yeah. Botman. I think
yeah.
to come in your first season, sort of forget how young he is.
Mm.
First season in the Premier League. And to just be a rock in the... Did we finish the joint best defence in the league?
Yeah. 33 goals conceded, same as Man City.
Now you think how long it takes. Even some players who've played in the Premier League for other teams still, like Nathan Ake at Man City, still needed at least a whole season at Man City to get a look in and to adjust.
Mm. Especially when he was joining a side where Cher wasn't like a... I mean, he is experienced in the Premier League, but he hasn't been like an exceptional centre-half in the throughout his Premier League career. There were question marks about whether he could play in a back four.
Mm.
But for Botman and Cher to have that partnership, when neither of them have like... You wouldn't have expected either of them to be like top four centre-halves. I think Botman's been amazing. And like you say, first season in the Premier League, when he's still so young, it's phenomenal.
Botman, for me, suffers from two instances of me being thick. One, I don't have the football knowledge often to be able to appreciate the very, very top central defenders. Like the way people talk about Virgil van Dijk, I can't see it because I just assume... He makes it look easy, and therefore I just don't really notice him being amazing. Botman may suffer from that from my perspective a bit. And also
he's foreign.
And this yes, he's foreign, I'm sorry, but no. Also, and this is a real case of me being thick, the fact that he, Cher, and Dan Byrne have similar complexion, hair colour and length, hair cut, means that I quite often can't really tell which one of them is...
How are you mistaking Dan Byrne for Fabian Cher?
How do you mistake Dan Byrne for anything other than the Statue of Liberty?
But I'm not there on a... If it's a close-up and I can see him next to somebody else, obviously. It's a wide shot...
It's not sensible soccer, though. I think there's enough to distinguish
I'm
them.
I'm just being honest. All right.
But don't
get used to it. Go on.
I think what Botman suffers for me is his positioning is so good that you struggle to see a like highlights reel of what he does because he's never out of position enough to have to make amazing recoveries or tackles.
I can only remember him doing like one or two, like, sliding tackles where most of it is just he gobbles up headers, he like bullies center forwards, he takes up excellent positions, and he is not alone, but he is so deserving of a goal because he gets so many opportunities from set pieces that we thought he got one, but it turned out to be a Walcott own goal. But Jesus, like, yeah, I love Sven Botman. The other person I was going to mention was Nick Pope. Like, what was he, 12 million quid?
Yeah.
And he's been fucking fantastic. One of the key reasons why we've got one of the best defences in, like, best defensive records in the Premier League is Nick Pope, not just because he's an exceptional shot stopper, yeah, but also his sweeping up, like you were saying, Paul, because so many of the balls that would usually be like contested by our centre half and their centre forward, he's already onto it and cleared it.
So I'm going to change my answer. I was going to go for Isak because I think in the same way Bruno last season sort of represented us buying players that were of a completely different standard to the sort of players we'd ever bought before, and certainly this century, and was much wanted by other clubs as well. And I think Isak falls into that category, and I think Isak could be an elite player in Europe. So I think I still kind of attempted to cover Isak, but I'm actually persuaded. I've just remembered that we got Nick Pope for like 10 million. So I think that makes him the signing of the season.
But on Isak, I can't wait to see him in the Champions League next year.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for. That's the one I'm looking forward to most.
But Isak is the signing that like only happens because of our new owners.
Oh, you had to do it. You had to ruin
I wasn't even going to be negative about that particularly. I'm just saying it only happens because of we're competing financially in a different sphere than we were previously.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, Nick Pope, we probably could have signed him anytime under Mike Ashley. We just made a signing like that, but we didn't because, you know. Because it was Mike Ashley, you know. Although we did, under him, sign quite a lot of players who turned out to be absolutely amazing. Just about 5 years after we signed them.
Yeah.
Okay, so, shall I end on... I don't think we can get... We usually give out an award for worst player of the season.
Ryan Fraser.
It feels wrong, though, with the context of this season. I saw on Twitter, Paul M was suggesting shithousery of the season. Which feels like a good one.
Okay.
He says, Tyndall telling Pope to sit the fuck down against Brentford, Lascelles bookings when not playing, or Murphy's camp wave to Kaletaka, maybe.
I mean, that's my favourite.
I think the wave, because it's so playful and it's Jacob Murphy and I love him.
Oh, but I don't know, Lascelles getting two bookings from
that
wave.
That is amazing.
Yeah. No, I like this new side of us. Yeah. I know the opponents are going to fucking hate it, but I'm kind of reveling in being the side that people don't like. It's quite fun.
Okay. Yeah. So unless you've got any more, I think if we're going to go for a worst player, I think Ryan Fraser is a fairly good shout.
Yeah. I think you could also chuck in Chris Wood to that, which feels unfair. I just think he wasn't suited to our system.
The way things are going, though, Ryan Fraser could end up our player of the season next year. That's
I'd be very surprised.
Everyone in the Newcastle United squad does get a chance of redemption, it seems.
Who do you think will have the best season next year? Out of, say, Longstaff, Willock, Anderson, Murphy.
Willock. I'd say Joe Willock.
I think that's a good shout. There's going to be a lot more games because of Europe, so you'd hope that they all do get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Willock did end the season with an injury, which hopefully isn't too bad.
But, hamstring, wasn't it?
Say that again?
Yes, wasn't it his hamstring?
Yes, it was. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say Joe Willock could do pretty well next season. But so could the other two. We'll see.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, what's interesting is the players that we're getting linked with already. Like, quite a few. Like, so we've been hard linked with Szoboszlai from RB Leipzig, who's like a central midfielder in much in the same way as Joe Willock.
The Hungarian captain, and he's got a lovely YouTube reel.
He's very exciting. Gabri Vega from Celta Vigo, 21 years old. Again, central midfielder, much in the same way as like Joe Linton, Longstaff, and more Willock again. And this 18-year-old kid, Arda Güler, who's Turkish from Fenerbahce, 18 years old, full of silky skills and attacking threat. But those two, like Vega
also
and
James Maddison, who's
of course,
Harvey Barnes as well.
But those, like, so Maddison, Szoboszlai, and Vega all played in a similar role to Joe Willock. Now, unless you're going to not play Joe Willock, or you're going to play him out on the wing or whatever, it's just, I don't know how you're going to, you know, manage that.
Well, we need a bigger squad, don't we? And
I think it told towards the end of this season that we didn't have a big enough squad. I think for the intensity we play at, we need that depth, especially with the extra however many games we'll have.
Yeah, I mean, Bruno was the only recognised central midfielder in the team against Chelsea. Unreal. We still got a point. Anthony Gordon got his goal, which I'm really happy to see.
Yeah.
So let's talk about transfers. I'm just looking at our playing squad because we did fill our allocation last season with like players registered.
I think there's a lot of contracts supposedly being offered to likes of Paul Dummett, Matt Ritchie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it now. Paul Dummett and Matt Ritchie, their contracts end this month. That really surprised me.
Paul Dummett would help us out with the homegrown rule, and he's useful to have around the squad and all the rest of it. Matt Ritchie, I'm not so sure. I mean, one thing that might be an idea is to offer him the same deal that Tom Huddleston's got, where he's got a contract but he plays for the under-21s.
Oh, was that at Man U?
Yeah. So you've got this like experienced pro who's, you know, basically on the books to instill the ethos of the club with the youngsters. And I can't think of many players who would more enjoy the role of bollocking children than Matt Ritchie.
Going to bring through a series of violent kids.
I'd like to think that we end against it.
I'd like to think that in being offered those contracts, they're not being guaranteed places in the squad, don't we? Okay. But,
no.
We'll see.
But yeah, so there's a few that we need to like move on. There's talk that Nick Pope might be the only definite the goalkeeper that's definitely going to hang around, because Gillespie doesn't really count as homegrown. Loris Karius certainly doesn't. Martin Dubravka will want game time and might not get it sufficient for him.
One idea I saw on the, because the homegrown thing now, it's even more, it's got to be players who've come through your youth team, isn't it? I saw someone on Twitter suggesting a good backup keeper choice would be Fraser Forster, because he did come through the Newcastle Academy. There might be. What's that, sorry?
I didn't know if you'd count, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that would count. So I think there might be a few clever little moves like that where it's transfers that seemingly make no sense. But apparently we want Karius to stay, which I think makes more sense than Dubravka in a way, because Karius can at least play that same way Pope does.
And he'll be more content to sit on the bench.
maybe we can get him to start if we finish, if we get to the Champions League final.
God, the ultimate redemption arc. Just get Nick Pope to get sent off.
Emil Kraft, he's still got another year on his contract, contract, but
he was good when Trippier was injured last season. Kraft filled in. I think he looked better than Mankio. But we've got Harrison Ashby now, haven't we?
Yeah. Kraft will be moved on, I'm sure. Or at least, like, we'll try to. But then you've also got, like the aforementioned Ryan Fraser.
Jeff Hendrick?
I think he's just out of contract, isn't he?
Oh, I want to see him in the Champions League.
We've got Jeff Hendrick for another year. We've got Isaac Hayden on our books for another 3 years.
Nice.
We could have done with him second half of this season if he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've mentioned a few midfielders who we are linked with.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just ask, without getting bogged down in it, what positions would you like to fill and who are your sort of realistic dream signings for those positions?
I think the right attacking side, but I don't know who could play out there other than like maybe Madison would be great. I think left back, and I have no names, I have no idea who would be great at left back.
We're consistently linked with Kieran Tierney, aren't we?
Yeah, I have to be honest, I'm not particularly excited by that. Like, I think he's better than Matt Target, but not by much.
I think his injury record is the main worry as well.
I'm not excited by the links to Scott McTominay.
I think Tierney's very rated by Arsenal fans, but yes, the injury record is a worry. And it's clear that Eddie Howe really likes Scott McTominay. He's been linked with him for a long time. And
I mean, it could be.
I'm ready to delegate my footballing assessment to Eddie Howe on that one.
Yeah. I think as well, we saw towards the end of this season, when Longstaff wasn't there, we missed that type of player. So I think there's an argument for having basically another version of Bruno, McTominay for Longstaff.
And McTominay's a
Soboslai, whatever he's called, for Willett.
Soboslai.
But yeah, McTominay is an unglamorous player or signing, but he has Man United, it's only now that we're suddenly a team who is pretty much comparable with Man United. And although they've been like a laughingstock in years gone by, they have consistently qualified for Europe. And he has played a lot of football.
I know, he just feels like, one of those Man United players who years ago would have gone to Watford or Sunderland and been fine.
And bear in mind, we're a Champions League team that is consistently picking Sean Longstaff and Jacob Murphy and Dan Byrne.
I'm not saying he's like a huge upgrade on what we've got.
But that's the point.
But he does play a more defensive and glamorous role than most of our midfielders, which I could see being very useful.
I would much rather us either spend the money elsewhere and just keep Sean Longstaff, or pump the money into it and get Declan Rice, who is better than McTominay by orders of magnitude.
I think Rice is that level of player, though, where we can't afford the wages.
Probably not.
FFP.
Yeah. But that's the kind of upgrade I'd want. Like, if we're going to spend money on there, because Man U aren't going to let him go for less than, like, I don't know, like 35, 40 million quid. I don't think Scott McTominay is worth 35, 40 million quid of our budget.
I would rather like James Ward-Prowse or somebody like that.
Yeah, because you could pick him up for half the price.
I might be wrong, but I don't think James Ward-Prowse is going to go for half the price of Scott McTominay.
No, I think he'd go for more than McTominay. I think McTominay would go for about 15 million.
Yeah, I don't know where this like 35 million for Scott McTominay is coming from. I don't see that happening.
Dave's his agent. That's where it's coming from.
And also, I don't think his like wages would be insane. And yeah, big players like Declan Rice, it's not just their wages, it's also Bruno and Isak are gonna automatically wanna be on whatever he's on. But Dave, we've got a new shirt sponsor, right?
Yeah, it's an entirely unrelated PIF-owned events management company that was founded a couple of months ago. And apparently they're going to sponsor our shirt for 25 million, which is gross, but it is where we are. And
nothing shady about that at all.
No, the thing is, it is a fair market price for a Champions League club with ambition to become a title-winning club in the future. So,
well, that's the weird thing. Like, if it is a fair market price, why like set up an events company, like a fake company? Why not just like wait for someone else to pay it?
Because they want to reflect in any perceived glory. So a Saudi events management company on the front of the shirt rather than an American hedge fund is what the owners would want. So
they do want to remind everyone all the time that.
Yeah.
My problem is I've been fine with all the Saudi stuff so far.
What, the killing? That's appalling. Paul.
But this is the point where I walk away from the club. to have a Saudi events company on the shirt. Just
unless I can book that company to do my children's birthday party.
Okay. That clown's a bit beheady, isn't he? I don't know. It's a fair market price, and that's why it'll probably get waved through by the Premier League. It's horseshit, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. And
what it is sports washing.
But a nice side effect of that is that we might have quite an exciting summer in the transfer window. And for me, that's all that matters. So I don't think we'll do many pods over the summer in the break. So do enjoy the break. Maybe take some time off football. Spend some time with your families. Read a book, for heaven's sake. But if we do sign, if anyone enormous or anything enormous happens in the world of Newcastle United in the break, then who knows, we may come in with an emergency pod. Or maybe we'll just get lonely and want to speak to each other. it's happened before.
Lockdown.
Yeah.
Where we essentially released podcasts where we just did quizzes.
Yeah.
They were really fun. I loved doing the quiz.
They were, I think, a lifeline for all of our mental health on reflection.
Maybe we'll do another one of them. But probably not. So have a good summer. With any luck, next season might be half as enjoyable as this season was. Might even be more so. We're going to end now with a montage of all the best bits from our podcasts over the season. So please enjoy that. Only joking. We are nowhere near professional enough to put together something like that. So,
and also, there are no good bits.
There are no good bits.
To be deep dives into the loan system and.
There's nothing but good bits. All gold.
We could talk some more about VAR if you like, or time wasting. That was a peak.
Yeah, there was a bit in the middle of the season where after like three incredible weeks of football, 3 weeks in a row on the podcast, we start a 5-minute rant on time wasting.
This is why we are Britain's number one Newcastle podcast unofficially.
Unofficially. All right. Thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Thanks, Fergus.
Thank you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle Natter listener. Goodbye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.